We sing our faith, sharing the music and ministry of today's Catholic recording artists. I am your host, Julie Carrick, and it is my privilege to share my fellow artists with you.
Well, good morning indeed, and welcome to We Sing Our Faith. What a joy to bring to you today a brand new artist, a brand new inspirational speaker, and the only new person to both We Sing Our Faith and Carrick Ministries Foundation that I can say I've known since the day she was born. Actually, since before she was born. I am so excited to introduce you to Mrs. Heidi Glaze. Her maiden name was Carrick.
A little familiar.
Welcome, Heidi, to We Sing Our Faith.
Thank you so much. And good morning. Good morning.
What a joy to be able to see full circle. We love our incredible producers and people behind the scenes here at the Guadalupe Radio Network. And Joe, this morning, as we were preparing, we were chatting about new life, his little guy, Dominic. And I said, well, my little girl, Heidi, is here. So, you know, but it's truly in the family. It's a beautiful blessing to see how God has gifted and then brings full circle. So, Heidi, give us a little bit of your life. Tell our listeners, who are you? What's
Absolutely. Well, I'm so excited to be here. This has been such a timely thing, I think, for me in my life. And I've loved kind of watching my mom's ministry for so many years now. I grew up cradle Catholic. I was an altar server, part of youth choir, very active in the youth ministry. And now at, going to be 40, my life has been all sorts of different stages of embracing my faith, really needing to rely on it. I'm wanting to really share with people just how important it is and how it has saved my life and what I see it doing and touching other people's lives. Coming from such an active background doesn't mean that it made everything easy. And I love my faith. I'm on fire for it. And I see more now than ever just how much of a grace it is. And I'm so excited to share that with people that are really needing it in these times. I'm a mom of three, wonderful husband, Wayne, and just really excited to start this ministry and welcome a different view.
I love that. And, Heidi's alluded a little bit by saying, raised in a family of faith, but to have those ups and downs of life. You mean to say that, it wasn't perfect?
No, it should have been, smooth and easy, right? Real life is real life, and struggles, people turn away from their faith, whether it's intentional or not. Life choices, life situations, the devil will chase a worthy foe. I'm a firm believer of that. And, it can look like a picture perfect life. You could come from a broken home or feel lost and alone. Status means nothing. The devil will not chase. He will chase you. He doesn't care who you are. He wants you. And whether you believe it or not, God is there protecting you if we only can lean on him. And I know that has saved my life more than once.
Yeah. Leaning on the beauty of his grace. It's with music. There's something about music. And I have to tell our listeners, we have just wrapped up. We're in the middle of wrapping up now the Share-a-thon, and that beautiful song Under Her Mantle that everyone has just attached with is such a beautiful piece of music written by Jerry Usher. But when we were asked to record that song and have it ready for everyone to listen to, the voice that you're hearing along with me is Heidi. And she has been so giving of her gift of music in the background. In fact, I've got to find a different word for that. They're always known as background or backup singers, background singers. Without the background singer, you don't really have that full, the beauty of the front singer. Is enhanced because of the beauty of those background singers. And so you've heard Heidi over these years on We Sing Our Faith with my music, as she has been in the studio with us so many times, singing those beautiful harmonies. I think instead of calling, the additional singers background singers, they should be the beautiful harmony lifters. Like, there should be a different name for that. But to see Heidi come full circle, to see where you are now, ready to not be in the background, but to be front and center. And if you would share with us just a little bit about, because I know we talked a bit about today's show is going to focus in on sober living, mm-hmm. coming back to a faith, living deep in that faith. Mm-hmm. Before we go to our first song, Anima Christi, tell us a little bit, kind of a synopsis of that.
Absolutely. You know, the past 3 years of my life have probably been the best because of making a choice to live a sober life. I feel like it's become such a norm for people to glorify addiction, and maybe not looking at it like that, but it could be, well, I'm going to have a glass of wine with dinner or going out with friends, and we can't go anywhere unless there's a drink in hand. And it's a very sneaky little thing that can quickly take control of people's lives and have it be the center. And I made a decision 3 years ago to not only change my life, but I had to ask, I need help. Yeah. And I wouldn't say I walked away from my faith, but I was going through the motions and not being fully in it. And you can go to Mass every Sunday, but not being present there, I felt that distance. And that distance absolutely can become devastating, you know, emotionally, and not allowing yourself to be in God's grace and to take advantage of the gift of the sacraments, not being able to be in full communion. It affects your life more than you know until you see the big light of it's time to get yourself together. Right. Priorities and the blessings that pour through by making decisions to put God first. And have that close relationship with Jesus. It saved my life. I know that it saved my life. Mm-hmm. And I want other people of all ages and whatever the struggle may be, whether it be a mental health thing, addiction can look like so many different things. Whether it be, you know, abusing alcohol. Some people have a hard time and have turned to drugs. They have turned to technology. It's amazing how much screen time can take away from the gifts right in front of us that we need to really rely on to help every day of your life just be a blessing. And, you know, you can't see it when you're clouded. So it feels really good to be in clarity and at peace in my faith. And I'm so excited to hopefully be, you know, a voice for somebody who might need to hear it, that needs to know, you know, it's okay to come as you are, that we're all welcome home. Always.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm going to give you the number to call in today, because if you've got questions for Heidi or comments, I'm going to give you the number now, which is 877-757-9424. Again, that number to call in is 877-757-9424. And now we're going to go to this beautiful rendition of the song sung by Heidi, the Anima Christi. And we're going to come back after and chat a bit more.
Christi, soul
That song, the prayer, is so beautiful. Talk about that a little bit. Why that song?
The song has always been one that it's a meditation for me. But if you really, what I took from it, I mean, the most incredible word in that song is inebriate. And, you know, I was thinking about it while we were listening just now. And every time I listen to it, I find another part that is, it's so just encompassing. I heard slain in the spirit when I hear inebriate me. And, you know, you hear inebriated, and the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, somebody who's, you know, had a few too many, or that's not having their wits about them. But what a gift to be inebriated in Christ, in his perfect sacrifice. It's literally just giving up control. And, you know, when you sing, you're praying twice. Mm-hmm. And this song is definitely a prayer. Water from the side of Christ, purify me. If there couldn't be a better shower, right. You know, right. Of just pure grace and a cleansing soul. So this song to me, it's just pure peace, and it's about giving up control and really just embodying that grace. You know, I love the song. Every bit of it gives me peace. At the hour of my death, call me. What we all want and should be living for and striving for. And asking for our saints to pray for us and our angels to be with us. And it ends with amen. And it's, I believe. And yes, this song is just literally the epitome of, I think, what I'm starting this ministry with. Yeah. You know, if I couldn't have picked a better one to really lead with.
Yeah. The prayer is, I mean, it is, like you said, so encompassing, because talking about the beauty of what he was willing to do for us, mm-hmm. and the beauty of that grace that he wants to pour into our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's interesting. It seems like every generation goes through something. I think of, well, he would be your grandfather. I mean, your dad's, your great-grandfather, your dad's grandfather died in a war. In a concentration camp in Germany, you know, that was a heaviness in the family, right? That was your great grandfather. Your grandfather, you know, was Navy. Your other grandfather was Army. You know, they had things that they witnessed in this world. things that your generation is witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to that a little bit now as far as the, what does our world need right now? What is it that a ministry that you are offering, what is that focus that you feel our world needs right now?
I feel like the timing of this, I'm sure that, you know, everybody kind of knows what's been going on in the news with Charlie Kirk. It's unifying in such a sad way, but at the same rate, now more than ever, we need to be unified. And I'm seeing two things trending, and I'm hearing about them as far as millennials or young people that are walking away from the church, that aren't being active in the church. But at the same rate, I'm seeing a huge surge of people coming back to the church, coming back to their faith, and really becoming a community again. So I want as a younger person in our faith journey to invite everybody to really come back to the church, be fully with the church. Don't come as you are. Don't be afraid. I've experienced in some parishes feeling like I wasn't welcome, feeling like when I was there alone with my kids, like, where is this picture perfect family? Why aren't they all here? And then I've also been to parishes that have been just open arms. And I'm seeing that more than ever, that people are being more real. I want to see more of a respect in the church too, if I can say, as a mother, my middle child is a young lady, and I don't think that we're looking for perfection at all, but we want to project ourselves as being worthy of God and His graces, coming to Mass and being, you know, clothed for Christ.
I love that.
Not clothing optional. You know, I just would love to see a little bit more respect for God and His church. I love that anybody is welcome there, and they should be, but I would like to see a little bit more
modesty.
Modesty is such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that's lacking, and it's something that we can all grow with. That doesn't mean don't come to Mass, though. If you're in a tank top and you're running late, you're never late for Mass. get there. Lean on the church and take advantage of these gifts that we're being offered. You know, we don't have to go to Mass. We get to go to Mass.
Yeah. Got you.
So that's been a huge change in my life to really see it that way and look at it as the gift that it is.
Yeah. I want to go to the next song and the beauty of this one. It's an old hymn, and I love Heidi's heart in that you see in a lot of ways an old soul in a young body. The way that she has asked and brings her daughter modestly dressed and teaching the beauty of this gift that she is as a daughter of the King, and inviting others to do the same. And then the beauty of this hymn, but yet giving it a new life, giving it a new sound with your voice. Why Come Thou Font? Why is that one of the focuses for today?
Oh, the style of the song, the way that you, you know, recorded it and really brought it back to life again, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Take it out of the missal and play it in the day-to-day life. The words that stick out to me are, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, purchased with his precious blood. Mm. Oh, it's so appropriate because none of us are strangers to God. We are the ones making him a stranger. And so he sought me. You know, if you listen, you'll hear his call. And it's just something that I appreciate. And it's just praising him. And it's talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And that strength and that gift, whether you're in a state of grace to be able to receive, and if you're not ready at Mass to still be there in the body of Christ as a community, which is universal, which is so cool about our faith. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that you can be anywhere in the world and be hearing the same readings and gospel, but to know that it's not only symbols. You know, this is the biggest sacrifice and gift that we could ever hope for. And to be in full communion is something that I strive for, and know that you have to prepare your heart, but that you're welcome either way. And spiritual communion is something that people need to lean on until a point in life where you're able to be in full communion with God. And so this is a big reminder for me of really knowing the true blessing of the Eucharist. So this one really, has that perfect picture for me.
Hmm. Again, wherever you are listening today, be blessed as you hear Heidi sing for you now, "Come Thou Font."
Come Thou Font of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy unchanging for thy course.
reminding everyone to give us a call today at 877-757-9424. We're here to take your calls and to invite you into the dialogue today of this beautiful new ministry. And in just a moment, we're going to be going to a break. And when we come back from that, we're going to go a little bit deeper into the beauty of not only the 12 steps that might be somewhat familiar, but also the 12 steps of humility. Heidi's got an amazing thing to share with us on that. Again, that number to call in is 877-757-9424 as we are live today and would, again, just love to invite you into the conversation.
The month of September is dedicated to the Sorrowful Mother. O Most Holy Virgin, Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the overwhelming grief you experience when you witness the martyrdom, the crucifixion, and death of your divine Son, look upon me with eyes of compassion and awaken in my heart a tender commiseration for those sufferings, as well as a sincere detestation of my sins. In order that being disengaged with all undue affection for the passing joys of this earth, I may sigh after the eternal Jerusalem, and that henceforth all my thoughts, all my actions may be directed towards this one most desirable object, honor, glory, and love to our divine Lord Jesus, and to the Holy and Immaculate Mother of God. Amen.
Day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope, since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani, here with Adam Bly from the Spirit World.
Visions from heaven are not an everyday occurrence, but people do receive significant dreams, visions, and apparitions, even in this day and age.
Have you received a vision from heaven? Will you share it with us?
We invite you to call the Spirit World this Saturday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern.
And don't forget to subscribe to the Spirit World podcast so you never miss an episode.
Back, and we are back with you now on Wasting Our Faith. As I mentioned, when we just before going to break, the beauty of that song, Come Thou Font, and that phrase, I'm telling you, when you sang it, Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know a parent out there who has not prayed at some point for their children to learn the faith and then to come back to the faith, to love the faith. As we've, for 30 years of ministry, have traveled all over the world and we ask for prayer intentions, I'm not exaggerating when I say 85% of those prayer intentions were for our young people or family members to come back to the faith. Although, being totally honest, we've also received them from young people that were praying for their parents to come back to the faith. I mean, that's powerful to realize that the beauty of that. And then as you spoke briefly at the very beginning of the episode today, these past 3 years of decidedly living a sober life and the beauty of what that has done, opening your heart, your thoughts, your soul to that clear embrace with Christ, not clouded, not distorted because of either alcohol or whatever. I mean, there, like you said, there are so many different addictions out there. But speak to this one, and why at this point, we're doing this, the beauty of it.
Absolutely. 3 years of clarity. You know, it's been a gift, because when you're realizing there's something pulling you away from your faith, or that you're hurting yourself and you're looking for something to numb your life, the biggest thing you can do is to figure out why. What is it that you're hiding from? What is it that you're protecting yourself from? That's what you're thinking. You know, I don't think that we are giving ourselves a break. And instead of handling something that could be traumatic that happened in your life, sometimes you don't know what it is. Sometimes it's depression or anxiety. And we've become such a society of turning to the next pill, or, you know, just not talking about things. Yeah. And we can hide everything, these addictions, in a fun, looks like a great party. And all we're doing is hurting ourselves. And the gift that has come to my life, being able to be fully present for my kids, remembering everything, not feeling like garbage in the morning, not feeling ashamed. Mm-hmm. Those are the biggest gifts that you wouldn't expect, that because when you're in the moment, you're not realizing just how much you're missing and how much distance you're putting between yourself and God. And in doing so, every other really meaningful relationship in your life. The gift it has been for me to share with my now 18-year-old, you know, we actively talk about issues, and I can be 100% clear with him. Those hard discussions are so important to have, and having the gifts of the 12 steps of humility, and also, you know, they're tied so closely to anybody who's ever gone to an AA meeting or heard anything about, you know, Bill's story, very strong Catholic man who saved many, many lives by really taking these Benedictine, you know, right, kind of steps of life and introducing them and really making it a process for people. So a couple things I kind of wanted to start with: the Saint Benedict prayer. Mm-hmm. And I have to read it. It's not something I have memorized. There are a lot of prayers out there that I think that are wonderful guidelines and a great way to kind of start the process of, you know, just being open to hearing God's word and gift. So, dear Saint Benedict, I thank God for showering you with his grace to love him above all else and to establish a monastic rule that has helped so many of his children live full and holy lives. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, I ask you to please intercede that God might protect me, my loved ones, my home, property, possessions, and workplace today and always by your holy blessing, that we may never be separated from Jesus, Mary, and the company of all the blessed. Through your intercession, may we be delivered from temptation, spiritual oppression, physical ills, and disease. Protect us from drug and alcohol abuse, impurity and immorality, objectionable companions, and negative attitudes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. You know, to bring that focus, that Bill, you know, those 12 steps of humility given to us by Saint Benedict, mm-hmm. and that mirror those in the 12 steps of the sobriety journey. Mm-hmm. If that's not faith-based, I don't know what is.
If we all followed the 12 steps without thinking of it as what it's, you know, portrayed to be, and that's not a bad thing at all, but
right.
But what it is, it's admitting where we're powerless, coming to terms with things that we're doing that are taking us away from God and clouding our souls, believing in a power, which we, you know, as Catholics have such an amazing, amazing gift. So to really rely on that and to dig into our sacraments, turning our wills over to him, a moral inventory, that's right. Confession.
Right.
you know? And that's something that I struggled with for the longest time. I think that was my biggest hurdle as a very strong and stubborn Catholic.
Stubborn?
I know. The middle daughter here. Confession is such a gift. And if you look at it, I'm trying to explain it to people, especially those that aren't Catholic, as it's the best counseling and therapy session you'll ever have. And you get a clean bill of health at the same visit.
Right.
You know, and I used to be like, well, I don't have to do that. No, I get to, though. Yeah. And that's such a beautiful thing that we need to take advantage of more in our life, because it makes every day easier. All those big struggles seem a lot smaller after having those graces. So I'm very grateful that that sacrament has become something that is very important to my life, and admittedly so. You know, and also atoning for the things that we've done wrong. It's so important to do that with God, but we also need to make sure that we're doing that with people that we're hurting and that we're affecting, whether you know it or not. Honesty is something that has to be realized, and to be able to make things up to others and to ourselves and to our God. Those are gifts, and they are fruitful once we accept them and really strive to better our lives, you know.
Yeah, it's reminding me of something that you recently said about one of the prayers at Mass, the Confiteor. You know, when we are at that very beginning part of the Mass, speak about that briefly before we go to our next song.
Well, so, you know, besides the gift of the Eucharist, which is, that is the ultimate reason for being at Mass. But my second favorite part of Mass is that the Confiteor. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, you know, I have greatly sinned. The motions that we go through as a community, really owning that, it's a plea. It's a universal, I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to be prepared and to be that way, and to ask our brothers and sisters next to us. It's just a very unifying moment, and it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think if we actually listen to the words that we're saying during that time, oh, I cry so much at Mass. And that's one of those moments, though, that I feel like that's the beginning of a grace that, really relying on your community. I'm asking for you to pray for me, and I will pray for you.
And it is showing the beauty of God's love in that moment for each other, individually and as a community. And that's going to take us to our next song, Only a Shadow. The beauty of this one, again, it's an old song, but the beauty in the way that your voice, the way that you sing this, set it up for us in just 1 minute. Why Only a Shadow?
We're a drop in the water, a drop in the big well or the ocean, you know. But God's love is so big and all-encompassing. The first line of the song, the love I have for you, O Lord, is only a shadow of your love for me. We could never, ever understand just how big his love is. And to be able to fall into that and know how big and abiding it is, it's such a comfort.
Yeah.
To know that how much I love God, to know that that's a speck of how much he loves me. It doesn't get any better.
It doesn't. Oh, so wherever you are listening today, the beauty of Only a Shadow with Heidi Glaze.
For
I love that. I love that line. We will meet face to face, you know, because of his love, because of his mercy, because of his forgiveness. And, you know, it's interesting when I look at the generations of those who've come before me, the generation that I've lived in, and knowing that, you know, to be able to hand the baton to the next generation, that is so meaningful. I think every generation says, does the faith live on? Not only does it live on, it gets stronger. It gets more refined as far as how we can share the blessings of our faith. And as you were talking earlier and you mentioned, you know, social media, it's amazing to me how social media, people will put up every detail of their life. What kind of spice you put in your sauce for your spaghetti. And yet we don't know how to share what's most important in that sense. And yet I believe in your generation, in the millennial generation and the one coming after you, your children, we can see how these things can be used to truly draw us closer to God, to share our faith. But more importantly than social media or electronic or AI or whatever, I mean, AI is never going to teach our faith. No. You know, we need to have that true connection. And that is what I feel you are offering, you know, to be able to meet people where they are, as you said, come as you are, and then grow from there. And to be that sense of God's love and joy and purpose in our world. Tell us a little bit more, like how do you envision giving over to God? You've had 3 years of this beautiful clarity, 3 years of beautiful sobriety. You've been in the church throughout your life, as you said. Mm-hmm. But like many Catholics, I think it's very easy to come, kind of go through the motions and feel like you're living your faith. What would you say to people to help them go deeper? How do we let go and really give it to God?
Becoming active in your faith, it means being active. I think that we could all do better at reading our Bibles as a faith community. There's so much that we can take from that. And what's awesome about that is you can do that right on your phone,
right?
You can have scriptures sent to your phone every day instead of seeing something that will take away. There's so much that can be added to. But I think really being active with different opportunities in your parish. You know, there's a lot of young family groups that are starting, and it's the coolest thing to be a parent or young adult and being part of a community at Mass, but also meeting up at the park, right. You know, saying grace together at a restaurant as a group, having actual Bible studies. Again, you know, a lot of small faith communities have been active for a long time, but I think that we could really bring a lot more light to that. And I think that just being vocal about the needs that we have personally and sharing that, leaning on your community, and taking every opportunity to give something back, whether that be picking a ministry, like St. Vincent de Paul, you know, or starting one, you know, there's a big light being shown on mental health, and we all talk about it, but what are we going to do about it? Yeah. And I think that is really sharing your story, and we all have one, and it can look very different, but I learn from every homily. When that's shared, I want to hear that from my other, you know, faith community members. What is it that you're struggling with? What's going amazing for your life? You know, that only a shadow, my life is in your hands. And that light in me will shine. Invite somebody to Mass.
Yeah.
You know, really know your faith and share it. It's such a beautiful gift to keep to ourselves. And, you know, look at our new millennial saints.
Yeah. Right. Oh my goodness.
I love seeing my kids. They dressed up as, Carlo for Halloween last year, for the All Saints, parade at our parish. And it's so cool to see our youth really getting on fire in their faith. You know, my kids, it's Mama Mary at our house,
yeah.
You know, and, my youngest, Aaron, who's now six, he was in, he was at Blessed Sacrament Catholic Preschool, and he told the principal, I don't have any of these crosses in our house. And I had to walk him around. I'm like, there's a crucifix, there's a crucifix, there's a crucifix. And he wanted one for his bedroom. And I'm like, how could I not have one in your bedroom?
Right.
You know, they're watching us and they're seeing everything, and they make me a better Catholic. And I want them to see me in full communion with the church. You know, my daughter got to receive her first communion and confirmation this past May, and it's, oh, there's nothing better than seeing the fruits of the Spirit and how it's changed her life. And they are not afraid to defend their faith.
They're amazing.
Fully, you know.
Gee, so. I wonder where they get that from, Mom. Okay, we have time for one more song today. And this one, again, comes just from the beauty of the prayer of a saint. And also kind of in that vein of St. Paul, where he had that thorn in his side, and three times he asked God, please take it away, please take it away. And God's response to him was, my grace is enough for you. Mm. And so sometimes those things that we struggle with, we're allowed to have the struggles to grow from them. And I'm telling you, listeners, if there is an opportunity in your parish or your community to bring Heidi in for one of the events, this is one of those things that will help to really show how God's grace is enough. It may not change all the circumstances of your life, but it will show you how you live in grace. And that's going to take us to our final song, Take Lord, Receive. Heidi, tell us just in 1 minute. Let's set this one up.
My favorite lyric of this song and prayer is, you have given all to me, now I return it. Now I return it. That's an opportunity for me. That's why I wanted to really go into ministry, because who am I to God? I want to return all of the blessings that he's given to me in thanksgiving, and to help others, because if I can change someone's day or moment for the better, that's enough for me, and I want it to continue to grow. And I think that we all need to really look at that as we're enough, but God, with God,
everything's
going to be okay.
No. All right, listeners, the final song for today from Heidi Glaze, Take Lord, Receive.
Receive all my liberty.
the beauty of this ministry. If you've enjoyed this time with Heidi today, call in to the Carrick Ministries office as well. Visit WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That's the site. The toll-free number is 888-880-6874. Again, Heidi, thank you for being with us. What a blessing to have you. Again, WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. And we'll connect you with Heidi. Until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
The choice is clear, the path is straight and wide. Knowing you and loving you is simple, real, and true. I'm living in a shade of grace so clear.
The family that prays together stays together. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
When I started to work in Catholic radio, defending the faith became an important part of my call to evangelize. I knew I needed to know more to share more. I took a deep dive into scripture in a Bible study program called the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. A couple of years later, I took a couple of classes at Franciscan University, Steubenville. We're all called to evangelize and to be equipped to share our faith. One of the most important defenses of the faith to share with others is that catechesis is Christocentric. One of the biggest arguments that I've heard over the years against Catholicism is that we are not Christ-centered, and that's just not true. Everything about catechesis is centered on Christ. Without Christ, there is no catechesis. So know your faith, read scripture, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, join a Bible study, listen to Father Mike Schmidt's Bible in the Year podcast, know Jesus, know how to communicate the teachings of the Church, learn to communicate catechesis. This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
You can turn your unused vehicle into a tax-deductible donation to the Guadalupe Radio Network. It's a lot simpler than you might think, too. Just call 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click Donate Now. One of our representatives will gladly walk you through the process, even arrange pickup. Later model cars or trucks are greatly appreciated. Just call 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click Donate Now.
A popular objection to Jesus' resurrection is that it's merely a ripoff of pagan myths about resurrected deities. Should this be a cause of alarm? I don't think so, for a couple of reasons. First, Christians couldn't have copied from pagan myths because the idea of resurrection as a new embodied life after death was foreign to the pagan worldview. Recall how the Athenians scoffed at Paul's preaching on the resurrection in Acts 17. Second, the majority of the alleged parallels are bogus. The deities never really rise from the dead. The spirit of the Greek god Attis entered into a pine tree after his death, and the Egyptian god Osiris merely reigned as king of the underworld. So to my Christian friends, no need to fret. Our belief in Jesus' resurrection didn't come from pagan myths. I'm Carlo Broussard with a ready reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.